Welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of A Phantom of the Auditorium on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Quick heads up that Dune Reads Goosebumps is for adults. I'm going to use swear words. I'm going to drop some racial slurs. I'm going to go off on tangents and not stick to the book for tens of minutes at a time. I'm going to possibly start a Charles Manson-style race war. It's all right here. I guess this makes it, like, volume two of Dune Reads Goosebumps, as I had such a long hiatus for personal reasons I'm not going into. The cover of this book is, goddammit, I hate being colorblind, I think it's purple, and it's obviously a play on Phantom of the Opera. I like that song. And it, you know, he has a mask on, and it says, "He's out to stop the show. For good." You got that one, Arlstein. And my favorite part, I'm actually reading an old... ooh, that's gonna clip. Library book of it. Like a hardcover Goosebumps. Classy. And you can see on here that people have, you know, drawn possibly directly on the book, but most likely just on a piece of paper with the book below it. And if you catch in the right light, there is what I think was intended to be, this is from a junior high, intended to be a pentagram, but it's a Star of David with a star around it. So either they're with me and they love Satan, or, you know, they're part of the tribe. Either way, yeah, I'm doing. I'm back. I'm going to try to do this properly. I just did Giovanni's show again, and I was like, God damn it. Do I need to keep doing Goosebumps? I don't know what else to do. I want to do, like, a Reddit thing where I get the top things every week and do it, but then it's like, no one wants to hear me fucking making shitty commentary over Reddit posts. It'll be like, Murray Sindak died. I just heard that today or whatever. And I'll be like, what a fag! Like, no. Not appreciated. Anyway, this is Phantom of the Auditorium, Goosebumps number 24, of course, by the great R.L. Stine, and I'm Dune, and chapter 1. A mysterious phantom haunted our school. No one ever saw him. No one knew where he lived, but he haunted our school for more than 70 years. Pedophile. My best friend Zeke and I were the ones who found him. We found him while we were doing a school play about a phantom. Our teachers told us that the play was cursed, but we didn't believe her. We don't believe anything teachers say. All right, evolution, yeah. Evil-lition. We thought it was a big joke. But when I saw the phantom for myself, I knew it was no joke. It was all true. Every bit of it. The night we found the phantom was the scariest night of our lives. But I should start at the beginning. My name's Brooke Rogers, and I'm in the sixth grade at Wood Mills Hill Middle School. Derp. Woods Mill Middle School. Zeke Matthews is my best friend. A lot of other girls think it's weird that my best friend is a boy, but I don't care. Zeke is cooler and funnier than any of the girls I know. Oh, at least she realized at an early age that girls, not funny. Nah, not funny at all. They have boobs. That's exciting. I enjoy them, but yeah, not funny. Oh, Sarah Silverman, she's really funny for a girl. Oh, Marie Bamford, she's so funny for a girl. He's also a big horror movie fan like me. Zeke and I have been best friends for 9 years. We know just about everything about each other. For instance, I know that Zeke still wears Kermit the Frog pajamas. He hates it when I tell people that. His face always turns bright shade of red, like a savage. Then his freckles stand out even more. Zeke hates his freckles almost as much as I hate my glasses. I don't know why he's so hung up over a couple freckles. After a while, you hardly even notice them. And in the summer, when he gets tan, they practically disappear altogether. I wish my glasses could disappear. They make me look so nerdy, but if I don't wear them, I walk into walls. Well, Brooke. I see a future full of soft contact lenses. You can even use them if you have astigmatism. I learned that on a commercial about how fun it is to be in college. I should have gone to college. Some girls at school think Zeke is cute. I never think about him that way. God, he thinks that way about you, but he's in the ultimate friend zone. I guess it's because I've known him for nearly my entire life, ever since our moms met in their bowling league and discovered they lived on the same street. The excitement about the Phantom started a couple Fridays ago. School had ended for the day, and I was trying to get my locker open. I pushed my hair off my face and turned the combination dial. The stupid lock always jams, and it drives me crazy. After trying the combination four times, I finally got it open. I threw my books inside and slammed the door. Oh my god, books! No way was I dragging home any textbooks over the weekend. As of right this second, I was on vacation. 2 whole days of no school. Excellent! Before I could turn around, a fist came whizzing by my ear and punched my locker with a loud bang. Kaplack!
What up, Brooke? A voice called from behind me. No homework this weekend?
I didn't have to turn around to know who it was. Only one person in the world can get away with calling me Brookie.
What up, Brookie?
Damn it. Apparently Dune is not the one person that can get away with it, am I right? I don't read good. I turned around to see Zeke's dopey grin. His blonde hair, which was really long in front and very short, almost shaved in back, fell over one eye. Oh god, I had that haircut when I started doing this podcast. I smiled, then stuck my tongue out at him.
Real mature, Brookie, he muttered.
Then I flipped my eyes up so they stayed that way. It's a really gross talent I have that usually makes people scream and gag. Zeke didn't bat an eye. He had seen my eyelid trick at least a zillion times. No, no homework, I replied. No books, no nothing. I'm totally free this weekend. Then I got an idea, which was a first because I'm a girl up top. All right, only my cat's in here, never mind. But, you know, I bet she would have given me a high five with her re-re paws. Then I had a great idea. Hey, Zeke, I said, do you think Rich can take us to see the Creature Festival tomorrow? I was dying to see 3 creature movies playing at the Cineplex. One was supposed to be in 3D. Zeke and I go to scary movies all the time just to laugh at the scary parts. We have nerves of steel. We never get scared.
Maybe, Zeke answered, brushing his hair away from his face. But Rich is grounded. He can't use the car for a week.
Rich is Zeke's older brother. He spends most of his life being grounded.
I'm drinking a Miller Lite because it's hot as fuck, and that's totally acceptable when it's hot. And out of a Dune Reads Goosebumps koozie, all right. Drinking out of a koozie with my face on it like a douchebag.
Zeke shifted his backpack onto his other shoulder.
Forget about the Creature Festival, Brooke.
Aren't you forgetting something? He narrowed his eyes at me.
Something big?
I scrunched up my nose. Forgetting something? I couldn't think of a thing. What? I finally asked
out my mouth with words.
Come on, Brookie, think.
I really had no idea what the fuck Zeke was talking about. I pulled my long hair into a ponytail and tail and tied it together with a hair scrunchie that was on my wrist. Ah, scrunchies on the wrist. This is very dated. I always wear a hair scrunchie on each wrist. I like to be prepared. And I look like Black Widow with sweet gauntlets. You never know when you're going to need a hair scrunchie. Really, Zeke? I don't know, I said, making a tight ponytail. Pretty tight. Why don't you just tell me? And that's when it hit me. The cast list! I yelled, slapping my forehead. How could I have forgotten? Zeke and I had been waiting 2 long weeks to find out if we got the part in the school play. Come on, let's check it out. I grabbed hold of Zeke's flannel shirt sleeve and pulled him all the way to the auditorium. Zeke and I had both tried out for the play. Last year, we had small parts in the musical, Guys and Dolls. Miss Walker, our teacher, told us that the play this year was going to be scary. That's all Zeke and I had to hear. We had to be in this play. We found a big crowd of kids at the bulletin board. They were all trying to read the cast list at once. I was so nervous. I can't look, Zeke, I cried. You check, okay?
Yeah, no prob.
Wait, I'll do it. I yelled, changing my mind. I do that a lot. Zeke says it drives him crazy. Get used to girls, Zeke. I took a deep breath and pushed through the crowd of kids, biting my left thumbnail. I crossed the fingers on my right hand and stared up at the list. But when I saw what was posted up there, I nearly bit off my whole thumb. Tacked on the board beside the cast list was this sign. Attention Brooke Rogers. Please report to Mr. Levi's office. You have been suspended from school. Oh, shit! That was her reaction. It doesn't say, oh, shit. I just ad-libbed that. That's what I do. I read Goosebumps. Whatever. Chapter 2. Suspended? I gasped in shock. Had Mr. Levi found out that I was the one who let the gerbil loose in the teacher's lounge? Suspended. I felt my stomach. Sick, too. Stomach felt I. My parents were going to be horrified. Then I heard giggling. I spun around to find Zeke laughing his head off. Other kids were laughing, too. I stared angrily at Zeke. Did you put that sign up? Of course, he replied, laughing even harder. He has a sick sense of humor. I didn't believe it for a second, I lied. I turned back to the board to read the cast list. I had to read the list 3 times. I couldn't believe what I had seen. Zeke, I shouted over the other kids' heads. You and I, we're the stars. I was gonna reference that show where... Ah, fuck it. Just trudge on, Dune. Zeke's mouth dropped open in surprise. Then he grinned at me. Yeah, for sure, he muttered, rolling his eyes. No, really, I cried. We've got the 2 biggest parts. Come on, check it out for yourself. You've got the part of the Phantom. No way! Zeke still didn't believe me. She's telling the truth, Zeke, a girl behind me said. Tina Powell, a 7th grader, pushed through the crowd. I always had the feeling that Tina Powell doesn't like me very much. I have no idea why. I hardly even know her. But she always seems to be frowning at me. Like I have a piece of spinach caught in my tooth or something. Let me see the list, Zeke demanded, pushing past everyone. Wow, I did get the starring part. I'm going to be Esmeralda, I read. I wonder who Esmeralda is. Hey, maybe she's the Phantom's crazy old stepmother. Or maybe she's the headless wife who comes back from the dead. Give it a rest, Brooke, Tina said, frowning at me. Esmeralda's just the daughter of some guy who owns the theater. She said it as if Esmeralda was nothing. What part did you get, Tina? I asked. Tina shifted uncomfortably. A few other kids turned to hear her reply. I'm your understudy, she muttered like a little bitch, staring down at the floor. So if you get sick or something and you can't be in the show, I'll play the part of Esmeralda. I'm also in charge of all the scenery, she boasted. I want to say something mean and nasty, something to put Miss High and Mighty Tina Powell, ooh, I already have boobs, in her place in front of everyone. But I couldn't think of anything. I'm not a mean, nasty person, and it's hard to think of mean, nasty things to say, even when I really want to. So, I decided to ignore her. I was too excited about the play to let Tina Powell get to me. I pulled on my denim jacket and swung my backpack over my shoulder like every kid in the fucking world did in the 1990s. Come on, Phantom, I said to Zeke. Let's go haunt the neighborhood. All right. Doo-doo-doo. That would be the series kicks in and it goes to commercials and they're like, hey fuckers, buy GAC. But it's weird. I feel like RL started writing for the TV show about this time. There's also, I have a few of them too, a set of Goosebumps books based on the TV show. So it's like Cliff's Notes version of Goosebumps books and it just seems awful. Like it's 60 pages instead of, what are they, like 120 or something like that? On Monday afternoon, we started rehearsing the play. Miss Walker, my teacher, was in charge. Wait, what happened to the creature marathon? Oh, fuck it. She stood on the stage in the auditorium, staring down at us. She clutched a tall sack of scripts in her arms. Miss Walker had curly red hair and pretty green eyes. She is very skinny as a pencil. She is a very good teacher. A little too strict, but a good teacher. Zeke and I chose 2 seats next to each other in the 3rd row. I glanced around at the other kids. Everyone was talking. Everyone seemed really excited. Do you know what the play is about? Corey Schuyler asked me. He was playing my father. I mean, Esmeralda's father. Good one, Brooke. Corey has chestnut brown hair like me, and he also wears glasses. Maybe that's why we're playing relatives. Beats me, I answered him with a shrug. Nobody knows what the play's about. I just know it's supposed to be scary. I know all about it, Tina Powell answered loudly. Apparently she's going to be the girl with that voice in this one. I turned around in my seat. How do you know? I demanded. Miss Walker hasn't passed out the scripts yet. My great-grandfather went to Woods Mill Middle School a long time ago, and he told me all about the Phantom, Tina bragged. I started to tell Tina that nobody gave half a fuck about her stupid great-grandfather's stupid dumb story. But then, she added, and he also told me about the curse in the play. On the play. Whatever. I don't have to speak good. I have boobs. That shut everyone up. Even me. Even Miss Walker was listening now. Zeke nudged me, his eyes wide with excitement. A curse, he whispered happily. Cool. I nodded. Very cool, I muttered. My great-grandfather told me a really scary story about this play, Tina continued. And he told me about a phantom in the school, like a real phantom who... Tina! Miss Walker interrupted, stepping to the front of the stage. She peered down sharply at Tina. I really don't think you should tell that story today. Huh? Why not? I cried. Yeah, why not? Zeke joined in. I don't think it's a good time to listen to scary stories that may not be true, Miss Walker replied sternly. Today I'm going to pass out the scripts and... Do you know the story? Tina demanded. Yes, I've heard it, Miss Walker told her. But I wish you would keep it to yourself, Tina. It's a very scary story. Very upsetting. And I really don't think... Tell us! Tell us! Tell us! Zeke started to chant. And instantly we're all grinning up at our teacher and chanting loudly, tell us, tell us, tell us, tell us. Why didn't Miss Walker want to hear the story? Story. I wondered, how scary could it be? Chapter 3. Tell us, tell us, tell us, tell us. See, I screwed up with the chant and then I twerked it around. And if I didn't explain it to you right now, you'd think I would have read it perfectly. We all continued to chant. Miss Walker raised both hands for us to be silent in this typical, looks like we got a badass over here pose. But that only made us stamp our feet in our time of chanting. Tell us, tell us, tell us, tell us. Okay, she shouted finally. Okay, I'll tell you the story, but remember, it's just a story. I don't want you to get too scared. You can't scare us, Zeke cried. Everyone laughed, but I was staring hard at Miss Walker. I could see that she really didn't want us to know the story. Miss Walker always said we could talk about anything we wanted to her. I think she mostly meant puberty and stuff, though. I began to wonder why she didn't want to talk about the Phantom. The story starts 72 years ago, Miss Walker began. The year Woods Mill Middle School was first built. I guess Tina's great-grandfather was a student here that year. Yeah, he was, Tina called out. He was in the first class that went to this stupid school. He told me there are only 25 kids in the whole school. Miss Walker crossed her skinny arms over the front of her yellow sweater and continued her story. The students wanted to put on a play. A boy was hunting around in the basement of the Old Woods... God, why can't I fucking read that? Old Woods Mill Library. He found a script down there. It was called The Phantom. It was a very scary play about a girl who was kidnapped by a mysterious phantom. The boy showed it to his teacher. The teacher decided it would be fun to perform the play. It would be a grand production with the best scary special effects they could create. Zeke and I exchanged glances. The play had special effects? We love special effects. Rehearsals for the Phantom began, Miss Walker continued. The boy who had discovered the play at the library won the lead role of the Phantom. Everybody turned to look at Zeke. He smiled proudly, as if he had something to do with it. They practiced the play after school every day, Miss Walker continued. Everyone was having a really good time. Everyone was working really hard to make it a good play. It was all going smoothly until... She hesitated. "Tell us!" I cried out loudly. "Tell us! Tell us!" A few kids started chanting again. They are big chanters. "I want you all to remember it's just a story," Miss Walker said again. "There's no proof that this ever happened." We all nodded. Miss Walker cleared her throat and then continued. "On the night of the play, the kids were all in costume. Parents and friends filled the auditorium. This auditorium. The kids were really excited and nervous. Their teacher called them together to give them a pep talk. A pep talk! The play was about to start. But to everyone's surprise, the boy playing the Phantom was nowhere to be found." Miss Walker began pacing back and forth on the stage as she continued the story. "They called to him. They looked for him backstage, but they couldn't find the Phantom, the star of the show. They spread out. They searched everywhere, but they couldn't find him. The boy had vanished. They searched for an hour." Miss Walker continued. Everyone was so upset, so frightened, especially the boy's parents. Finally, the teacher stepped out on stage to announce that the play could not go on. But before she could speak, a horrible scream rang out over the auditorium. Miss Walker stopped pacing. It was a frightening scream. People said it sounded like an animal howl. The teacher ran toward the sound. She called to the boy, but now there was only silence. A heavy silence. No more screams. Once again, the entire school was searched, but the boy was never found. Miss Walker swallowed hard, because she sucks. I'm drinking a beer, my throat hurts. We were all silent. No one even breathed. "He was never seen again," she repeated. "I guess you could say that the Phantom became a real Phantom. He just disappeared. And the play was never performed." She stopped pacing and stared out at us. Her eyes moved from seat to seat. "Weird," someone behind me murmured. "Do you think it's true?" I heard a boy whisper, and then, beside me, Corey Schuyler let out a gasp. "Oh, no!" he cried, pointing at the side door. "There he is! There's the Phantom!" I turned, along with everyone else, and saw the hideous face of the Phantom grinning at us from the doorway. Doing the storytelling voice of the teacher fucking threw out my voice already. This is not a good comeback to Dune Reads. Fuck it. Chapter 4. Corey Schuyler screamed. A lot of kids screams. I think even Tina screamed. The Phantom's face was twisted in an ugly grin. His bright red hair stood straight up on his head. Gross! A ginger Phantom! One eyeball bulged out from its socket. Black stitches covered a deep scar that ran down, all the way down the side of his face. "Who?" the Phantom yelled, bursting into the aisle. More screams. I just laughed. I knew it was Zeke. I had seen him wear that dumb mask before. He kept it in his locker in case he needed it. "Zeke, give us a break," I called. He pulled the mask off by the hair. His face was red underneath it. Zeke grinned at everybody. He knew he had just pulled off a really good joke. Kids were laughing now. So that's what kids sound like when they laugh, I assume. I live a life where I try my hardest to stay away from kids and don't have friends who have kids. And if, like, one of my friends knocks someone up or they get knocked up, I cut them out of my life completely because that's bullshit and it's gross. Kids were laughing now. Somebody threw an empty milk container at Zeke. Another kid tried to trip Zeke as he headed back to his seat. "Very funny, Zeke," Miss Walker said, rolling her eyes. I hope we won't have any more visits from that Phantom. Obviously, also, because I just threw out my voice in the first 20 goddamn minutes, everyone's voice is just mine now. So it's deep, it has kind of a Southern California accent, a little surfery, and it's just, psh, that's it. That's who we are now. Zeke dropped back into the seat next to me. "Why'd you scare everyone like that?" I whispered.
"Felt like it,"
Zeke grinned back at me. "So will we be the first kids to perform the play?" Corey asked Miss Walker. Our teacher nodded. "Yes, we will. After the boy disappeared 72 years ago, the school decided to destroy all the scripts and the scenery. But one copy of the script was kept, locked up in a school vault for all these years."
Really? What a cool school.
"And now we're going to perform The Phantom for the first time." Kids started talking excitedly. It took Miss Walker a while to quiet us down. "Now listen," she said, pulling her hands on her pencil-thin waist. "That was just a story, an old school legend. I'll bet even Tina's great-grandfather will tell you that it's not true. I only told it to put you all in a horror mood." I could tell that Tina's already in a horror mood. Up top. That bitch is a skank. All right. "But what about the curse?" I shouted up at her. "Tina said there was a curse." "Yeah," Tina called out. "My great-grandfather said the play is cursed. The Phantom won't let anyone perform it. Grandpa says the Phantom is still here in the school. The Phantom has been haunting the school for 70 years, but no one ever seen him."
That's the fucking laziest ghost I've ever heard of.
"He stalks these halls every night, but nobody sees him, or hears him, or feels him. He just kind of fucking chills, but he's there." "Excellent," Zeke declared, his eyes lighting up. Some kids laughed. Some kids looked kind of uncomfortable, kind of scared. "I told you it's just a story," Miss Walker said. "Now, let's get down to business, okay? Who wants to help me pass these scripts out?" "Grammar. I've made a copy for each of you. I want you to take them home and begin studying your parts." Zeke and I practically fell over each other, running up to the stage to help Miss Walker. Nerds. She handed us each a stack of scripts. We climbed back down and started to hand them out. When I came to Corey, he pulled his hand back.
"What if the curse is true?"
she insisted.
"Oh, Corey's a girl."
"No, sorry, my eyes don't work good. I got double vision." All right.
"What if the curse is true?"
he called up to Miss Walker. "Corey, please," she insisted. "Enough talk about the Phantom and the curse, okay? We have a lot of work to do," and she didn't finish. Instead, she screamed. I turned back to the stage where Miss Walker had been standing a second before. She was gone. She had vanished into thin air.
Alright, I've been fucking up reading again. I'm going to take a sip of this beer, sing out a chapter name, then I'm going to nail chapter 5. Right in its cornhole.
Chapter 5! The scripts fell from my hands. I turned and made a dash for the stage. I heard kids shouting and crying out in surprise. "She just disappeared," I heard Corey utter. "But that's impossible," a Asian girl shrieked. Zeke and I scrambled on stage together. "Miss Walker, where are you?" I called. "Miss Walker." Silence.
"Miss Walker, can you hear me?"
Zeke called. Then I heard Miss Walker's faint cry for help.
"I'm down here," she called.
"Down where?" Zeke cried.
"Down here."
"Down below the stage?" That's where a voice seemed to be coming from. "Help me up," Miss Walker called again. "What's going on here?" I wondered. "How come we can hear her, but we can't see her?" I was the first to spot the big square hole in the stage. Zeke and the other kids gathered around it. I stepped to the edge of the opening and peered down. Miss Walker stared up at me. She was standing on a small square platform, 5 or 6 feet below the stage. "You'll have to raise the platform," she said.
"How do we bring it up?" Zeke asked.
"Press that peg over there on the stage," Miss Walker instructed. She pointed to a small wooden peg to the right of the trap door.
"Got it," Zeke cried. He pushed down the peg. We heard a clanking sound, then a grinding sound, then a groaning sound. It all seemed like the intro to Mystery Science Theater 3000. Slowly, the platform came rising up. Miss Walker stepped off the platform. She grinned at us and brushed off the back of her blue slacks. I forgot about the trapdoor, she said. I could have broken a leg or something, but I think I'm okay. We all gathered around. Zeke dropped down to his hands and knees, staring at the trapdoor. I forgot to mention the best part about this play, Miss Walker told us. The trapdoor was built for the first production of The Phantom. It was totally forgotten. It's never been used in a school play. Until now. What the fuck? You just happened to keep it ready to go and unhinged and ready to cripple children? We haven't used it for 72 years, but we don't want it to get rusty, so we make sure a fat kid falls in once a year. My mouth dropped open. A trap door. How fucking awesome is that? Miss Walker reached down and tugged Zeke from the opening. Damn it, that was the first time I fucked up this chapter. Careful, you'll fall, she said. I lowered the platform earlier. Forgot it was still down. All right, my fat kid theory doesn't check out. It was a hypothesis. It didn't go well. Zeke climbed to his feet. I could see he was really interested in the trap door. When The Phantom was first supposed to be performed, Miss Walker told us, the school had this trap door built so the Phantom could disappear or rise from below. Back then, it was a very impressive special effect. I turned my eyes to Zeke. He seemed about to explode with excitement. Am I the only one who gets to use it in the play? He asked eagerly. Can I try it now? Please? Not yet, Zeke, Miss Walker replied firmly. I still need to have it checked out for safety reasons. Until it's been checked, I don't want anybody fooling with the trap door. Zeke was already back on his hands and knees inspecting the trap door. Miss Walker cleared her throat loudly. Is that clear, Zeke? She asked. Zeke glanced up. He sighed. Yes, Miss Walker, he muttered. Good, Miss Walker said. Now let's get back to our seats. I'd like to read through the play once before we leave today. Just to give you an idea of the story and the characters. We returned to our seats. Zeke's expression caught my eye. I'd seen that look on his face before. His forehead was wrinkled, and his left eyebrow was up. I could tell he was deep in thought. It took more than an hour to read through the play. The Phantom was a really scary play. It was about a man named Carlo who owns a very old theater where plays and concerts are performed. Carlo thinks his theater is haunted. It turns out that there really is a phantom living in the basement. His face is scarred. He looks like a monster, so he wears a mask. That is just respectful. Wish uggos would wear masks. Hey, up top, ugly people. Get out of here. But Carlo's daughter, Esmeralda, falls in love with the Phantom. She plans to run away with him, but her handsome boyfriend, Eric Matthews, finds out. See, it said it handsome and Eric, so I just added in Matthews, because goddamn, Eric Matthews is hunky. Really quick side note. So I was reading stuff about Boy Meets World, because I, in the pit of depression in the last couple of months, I've watched almost the entire series of Boy Meets World, and read about the couple theories involving Eric Matthews and how the character goes from cool and suave to super stupid almost instantly, and it's a really weird transition, and the character becomes much shittier for the last 4-5 seasons. There's two theories. They're both good. One of them actually is easier, which involves an episode of the show where he gets trapped in a car with some girl and tries to break out with his head and gets a concussion, and so that would make it so he's just stupid and he has brain damage. But the much, much, much more interesting explanation of why Eric Matthews turns from cool and suave to just stupid and pretty much useless, but still hunky, is the fact that the show is centered around Corey Matthews, right? So Corey goes to the show, and when he's a kid, he looks up to his older brothers in high school. He's still down in junior high with Minkus,
or maybe he's in sixth grade, whatever. He's down there the 1 year that Minkus is on the show, and he thinks his brother's the coolest person in the world, and he gets a little bit older, and he realizes, wait, his brother's not cool, and he doesn't need to idolize him. His brother's a fucking idiot, right? And that also brings in the other thing of during his teenage years, when he's busy with high school, and Topanga, and hooking up with the broad that played Lindsay on Freaks and Geeks while they're at the ski vacation. That's why Morgan isn't even there, right? So he's so busy and wrapped up in his own bullshit that he doesn't even think about his little sister, who once he calms down, his hormones aren't raging as much, he realizes he does have a sister and he does appreciate her, but his brother, who he always looked up to, is just a fucking idiot. Eric is in love with Esmeralda. He tracks down the Phantom in his secret home in a dark passage far beneath the theater. They fight, and Eric kills the Phantom. This breaks Esmeralda's heart. She runs away, never to be seen again, and the Phantom survives as a ghost. He will haunt the theater forever. Pretty dramatic, huh? I think we all enjoyed reading through the play. We could see that it was going to be a lot of fun to perform. When I read my lines as Esmeralda, I tried to picture what it would be like to be in costume, saying the lines on stage. Once, I glanced back and saw Tina mouthing my lines silently to herself. Fucking poor Tina. She stopped when she caught me watching her. She frowned at me the way she always does. Tina is a totally jealous cunt, I told myself. She really wants to be Esmeralda. For a moment, I felt bad for Tina. I didn't like Tina very much, but I didn't want her to hate me because I had the part that she wanted to play. But I didn't have much time to think about Tina. I had a lot of lines to read. Esmeralda was on stage a lot in this play. It was a really big part. Just like Zeke's really big part. When we finally finished reading the play, we all clapped and cheered. Okay, go home, everyone, Miss Walker instructed, waving us at the door. Start learning your parts. We'll meet again tomorrow. As I began to follow the other kids down the door, I felt a hand pull me back. I turned to find Zeke pulling me behind a wide concrete beam. Zeke, what are you doing? I demanded. He raised a finger to his lips. Shh. His eyes were really excited. Let them all go, he whispered. I peeked out from behind the pillar. Miss Walker lowered the lights. Then she collected her papers and made her way through the auditorium door. Why are we hiding here? Are you going to show me your really big part? Ha ha, yeah, Dune rules, I whispered impatiently. Zeke grinned at me. Let's try out the trap door, he whispered back. Huh? Let's try it out quick. Well, there's no one here. I glanced quickly around the auditorium, dark and empty. Much like my heart. Come on, don't be a wimp, Zeke urged, pulling me toward the stage. Let's try it out, okay? What could happen? I turned uncertainly to the stage. Okay, I said. Zeke was right. What could happen? Yeah. Damn it, I set the bar way too high for myself by reading all of Chapter 5 with only one problem. Don't worry, Chapter 6 will just be fuck up after fuck up after fuck up. Like my life. Chapter 666. It's just Chapter 6, but I added the two other sixes because I fucking love Satan. Zeke and I climbed on the stage. It was darker than before, and it felt colder. Our sneakers thudded over the floorboards. Every sound seemed to echo over the whole auditorium. "This trapdoor's so cool," Zeke exclaimed. "Too bad you don't get to use it in the play." I gave him a playful shove and started to reply, but I suddenly felt one of my sneezing attacks coming on. The dusty auditorium curtain must have triggered my allergies. I have the worst allergies in creation. I am also allergic to absolutely everything. You name it. Dust, pollen, cats, Jews, dogs, even some sweaters. When I have an allergy attack, sometimes I sneeze 13 or 14 times in a row. My all-time record is 17. Zeke likes to count my sneezes. He thinks he's a riot. He slaps the floor and yells, 7, 8, 9, ha, ha. After 10 sneezes in a row, I'm in no mood for jokes. I'm usually a pitiful, dripping mess with foggy glasses. We tiptoed over to the glass door. Check the floor around there, Zeke said quietly, "Find that peg that makes it work." Zeke stood on the trapdoor while I was searching for the peg in the darkness. I desperately tried to hold in my sneezes, but it wasn't easy. When the small peg on the stage four caught my eye, "Hey, I found it," I said happily. Zeke glanced nervously around the auditorium. "Shh, someone like Aria?" "Sorry," I whispered. Then I realized I couldn't hold out any longer. My eyes were watering like crazy, and I just had to sneeze. I grabbed a handful of tissues from my pocket and put the whole wad up my nose. Then I started sneezing, trying to keep them as silent as possible. 4, 5, Zeke counted. Luckily, it wasn't a record-breaking attack. I only made it to 7. I wiped my nose and shoved the dirty tissues in my pocket. It was gross, but I had nowhere else to throw them. "Okay, Zeke, here it goes," I cried. I stepped on the peg and jumped beside Zeke on the trapdoor. We heard a clanking sound, then a rumbling, then a grinding. Wow. This book, page 27 to be exact, is ripped out. Like, the top right corner of it. Like, it was dog-eared, and someone's like, "I fucking hate dog-eared pages," and just ripped it out. It's too small that someone was a douchebag and just put their gum out on it, so I'm gonna read it to the best of my ability, but I'll just stop mid-word when it cuts off. The square section of the floor began. Zeke grabbed my arm. "Hey! Kind of shaky," he cried. "You're not scared, are you?" I challenged him. "No way," he insisted. The clanking grew louder. The square platform shook beneath us as we slid down, 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 until the stage disappeared, and we were surrounded by darkness. I expected the platform to come to a stop just beneath the stage. That's where it stopped for Miss Walker. But, to my surprise, the flat platform kept dropping, and it picked up speed as it slid further and further down. "Hey, what's happening?" Zeke cried, holding onto my arm. "How far does this thing go?" I wondered out loud. "Oh!" Zeke and I both cried out as the platform finally hit the bottom with a loud, hard thud. We were both thrown to the floor. I scrambled to my feet quickly. "Are you okay?" "Yeah, I guess." Zeke definitely sounded scared. We seemed to be in a long, dark, black tunnel. Dark and silent. Now, once again, now I'm on the other side of the page where the words are cut off, and it looks like it's worse this time, so I'm just going to hop in there. "To admit it, but I was very close to... to... dimly, the silence was broken by a soft... spee noise. I felt a panic choke my throat. That sound... what was it?" The sound repeated softly, steadily, like breathing. My heart pounded in my chest. Yes, breathing. The raspy sound of a strange creature. So close to me, right behind me. "Zeke!" "Zeke, why are you breathing like that?" I demanded, feeling my heartbeat slow to normal. "Breathing like what?" he whispered. "Oh, fucking never mind," I muttered. "He was breathing that way because he was scared. We were both scared, but there was no way we would ever admit it to each other." We both raised our eyes to the auditorium ceiling. It was a small, square glow in the far distance. It seemed to be miles and miles above us. Zeke turned to me. "Where do you think we are?" "We're about a mile beneath the stage," I replied, feeling a chill. "No shit, Sherlock," Zeke replied hastily. "If you're so smart, you tell me," I challenged him. "I don't think it's the basement," he said thoughtfully. "I think we're like way below the basement." "It feels like a big tunnel or something," I said, trying to keep my voice from shaking. "Want to explore?"
Beer.
He didn't answer for a long moment. "Too dark to explore," he replied finally. I didn't really want to explore. Oh, Dune, you can't read good. I was just pretending to be brave. Usually, I liked having the creeps, but being way down here was too creepy, even for me. "We'll come back with flashlights," Zeke said softly. "Yeah, flashlights," I repeated. I didn't plan to ever come back. I played nervously with the denim hair scrunchie on my wrist. Wow, 90s. And stared out in the darkness. Something bothered me. Something didn't make sense. "Zeke," I said thoughtfully, why would the stage trapdoor come all the fucking way down here? I don't know. Maybe so the Phantom can get home quicker after he haunts the auditorium? Zeke joked. I punched him in the arm. No jokes about the Phantom, okay? If there really is a Phantom, I told myself, this is where he would live. Let's get out of here, Zeke said, staring up at the square light so far above our heads. I'm gonna be late for dinner. Yeah, sure, I replied, folding my arms across my chest. Just one question, Mr. Know-It-All. What question? Zeke asked uncertainly. How do we get back up? We both thought about that for a second. After a minute or so, I saw Zeke drop to his knees and begin running his hand along the platform. There's got to be a peg to push down here, he said. No, the peg is up there, I replied, pointing up to the stage four. Then there's got to be a switch or a lever or a button or something to push, Zeke cried. God, Zeke has played a lot of the old Sierra point-and-click adventure games like Dune. We just need to find a lever and then press push, and then it doesn't work, and then we have to press pull, and then we have to wonder why each one has a separate option. Stupid LucasArts and their stupid games. Mm-mm. His voice grew high and shrill. Where could it be? My voice sounded just as shrill. Where could it be? My voice sounded just as shrill, just as frightened. We both started feeling around in the darkness, feeling for something we could push, or pull, or turn, or bop it.
Yeah, dude.
Something to make a little square platform rise up again, carrying us back to the auditorium. But after a few minutes of desperately searching, I gave up. We're trapped down here, Zeke, I murmured. We're trapped.
God damn it, I'm only, like, halfway done with this one, and, I gotta go to Chicken Wings in an hour. That means I have to just read straight through and kill my fucking voice.
Chapter 7. This is the 7th chapter in the book, which is called Phantom of the Auditorium, and the book was written by R.L. Stine. It's from the series Goosebumps, and I'm Dune, and I read... Oh my god, I just explained that I need to hurry the fuck up, and then I'm like, I'm gonna bullshit for the next 10 minutes. Alright, chapter 7. This is all your fault, I muttered. I don't know why I said that. I guess I was so frightened I didn't know what to say. Zeke forced a laugh. Hey, I like it down here, he boasted. I meant to stay down here for a while, you know, do some exploring. He was trying to sound brave, but his voice came out tiny and awesome. He wasn't fooling me. No way. How could you bring us down here? I cried. You wanted to come too, he shot back. I did not, I screamed. Miss Walker told us this thing isn't safe, and now you'll be down here all night, maybe fucking forever. Unless we're eaten by rats, Zeke joked, like a city baby, attacked by rats.
No one listens to subhumans. Neither do I. I don't trust those vegan fuckers.
I'm sick of your stupid jokes, I shouted. I totally lost it. I gave him a hard shove with both hands. He went sprawling off the platform. It was so dark, I couldn't see him for a moment. Ow! I cried out as he shoved me back. Then I shoved him harder, and then he shoved me harder than that. I stumbled back onto some kind of switch. My back hit the switch. A loud clanking sound made me nearly jump out of my skin. Brooke, jump back on, quick! Zeke screamed. I leaned back onto the platform just as it started to move. Also, I leaped on it. Up, up, sliding slowly but steadily. The square of light above our heads grew larger and brighter as we rose back up to the auditorium. Hey! I cried out as the platform stopped with a jolt. Way to go, Brookie! Zeke yelled happily. He slapped me on the back. Don't celebrate yet, I told him. We still weren't back on the stage. The platform had just stopped about 5 feet down from the top, just where I had been, where it had been for Mrs. Walker. I guessed that the only way to raise it all the way up was to step on the peg on stage. Give me a boost up, Zeke urged eagerly. I cut my hands together. He lowered his sneaker into my hands. Wait! He cried, stepping back down. Whoa! What if the Phantom is up there waiting for us? Maybe you should go first. Ha, ha. Very funny, I said, rolling my stupid eyes. Remind me to laugh later. Okay, I'll go first, he muttered. He put his sneaker into my cupped hands and reached up to the stage floor. I gave him a boost. I watched him scramble onto the stage. He disappeared from view. I waited for him to reach down for me. A whole minute went by. Zeke? The word came out tiny and weak. I waited some more, listening hard. I couldn't hear him up there. Where the fuck was he? Zeke, where are you? I called up. Come on, raise the platform, or give me a hand. I called up. I can't make it by myself. Another minute passed. It seemed like an hour. I suddenly realized what Zeke was trying to do. That big fucking stupid jerk. He was trying to scare me. Hey, enough, I shouted. I had more than enough of Zeke's bullshit for one day. Zeke, I yelled. Give me a break. Give me up. Finally, his hands lowered down over the aisle. It's about time, I shouted angrily. What the fuck? I just forgot to breathe. Alcohol will help. Finally, his hands lowered down over the side. It's about time, I shouted angrily. I grabbed both hands and let him pull me up to the stage. I shook my hair back and forth. My eyes were slowly adjusting to the brighter light. You know, you're not funny, I snapped. Keeping me waiting down there was really... I stopped and swallowed hard. It wasn't Zeke who pulled me from the trap door. A strange pair of dark eyes, angry eyes even, stared into mine. Chapter 8. This is probably going to be a spooky chapter, y'all. I don't say y'all. I swallowed hard. A strange little man stared back at me, an angry scowl on his face. He wore baggy gray pants and a loose-fitting gray sweatshirt torn at the collar. His thick white hair fell wild and unbrushed over his forehead like a floor mop. He had a deep purple scar down the side of his face, nearly as long as the scar on Zeke's creature mask. I could see that he was old, but he was tiny, no bigger than a kid. He stood only an inch or two taller than Zeke. As he squinted at me with his strange gray eyes, his face twisted into an ugly frown. He looks like a phantom! The frightening thought flashed through my mind. Who? Who are you? I stammered. I'm Emil, the night janitor, the man rasped. No, you don't rasp. Emil, you're a bad impression of an Italian. Where's my friend Zeke? I demanded in a shrill, frightening voice. Brooke, I'm over here, Zeke called out from behind me. I whirled around. Zeke stood on the other side of the trap door. He had his hands shoved deep into his jeans pockets. He was biting his lower lip. Zeke, I cried, what's going on? Why? The school, it is closed, huh? The janitor growled. Like a wop. He had a hoarse voice, like sandpaper. No. His voice flowed like marinara sauce. That's what you should have said, R.L. Oh, what are you two doing down here, huh? Zeke and I exchanged glances. Zeke took a step forward. We, stayed for, a play rehearsal? He told the man. That's right, I chimed in. We had a late rehearsal. The janitor continued to squint suspiciously. A play, a rehearsal, huh? He repeated. Then, where is everyone else, sir? He said, adding an A to the end of each word to make it sound like he was Italian, even though his character's not that... What the fuck am I doing? I hesitated. The guy was scaring me so much. My legs wobbled. We left, I blurted out, but we had to come back to get my jacket. Behind Emil, I saw Zeke nodding, approving my lie. How did you know about the trapdoor? The janitor demanded, in his stupid Italian voice. I hesitated. It's strange that I've never seen him at the school before, I thought. Miss Walker, our teacher showed it to us, Zeke said softly. I could see that he was as scared as I was. The man leaned closer to me, squinting so that one side of his face was completely twisted up. Don't you know how dangerous it is? He whispered. He leaned even closer, so close that I could feel his hot breath in my face. His pale gray eyes stared into mine. Don't you know how dangerous it is? Wow, I think I clipped. God damn it, sorry. Big pause. Beer drink. Zeke and I talked on the phone that night. That man wasn't trying to warn us, I told Zeke. He was trying to scare us. Well, he didn't scare me at all, Zeke boasted. I'm sorry if you got upset, Brookie. Oh, wow, I thought. Sometimes Zeke is such a phony. If you weren't scared, how come you were shaking all the way home? I demanded. I wasn't shaking. I was just exercising, and I was, like, having the shakes because I, like, drink all the time like Dune, and I'm rad as shit like Dune. Zeke joked. You know, like, working out my calf muscles like Dune doesn't do. Give me a break, I muttered. How come we've never seen the janitor before? Because he's not a janitor. He's the Phantom, Zeke cried out in a deep, scary voice. I didn't laugh. Get serious, I told him. It wasn't a joke. He was really trying to frighten us. Hope you don't have nightmares, Brookie, Zeke replied, laughing. I hung up on him. On Tuesday morning, I walked to school with my little brother Jeremy. As we walked, I talked about the play. I told Jeremy the whole story, but I left out the part about the trapdoor. Miss Walker said it would be better if we kept that... Wow, what was that weird sound I just made? Anyway, Miss Walker said it would be better if we kept it a secret until the performance. Is it really scary? Jeremy asked. Jeremy is 7, and he gets scared if you say boo to him. Once, I made him watch the movie Poltergeist. Hey, it lets me switch it up for the trauma fans. I made him watch the movie Poultrygeist with me, and he woke up screaming every night for weeks. We didn't go to KFC for a year. Yeah, doing with the improv.
That's how you get to be good at improv. You say one thing that's not even remotely witty, and then you just harp on it for a while and point out how great you are. That's how the greats do it.
Yeah, it's pretty scary, I told him. But not scary like Friday the 13th scary. Jeremy seemed relieved. He really hated scary things. On Halloween, he hid on his room. I would never make him watch Friday the 13th. He probably would have nightmares until he was 50. The play has a surprise, I added, and it's a pretty awesome surprise. What is it? Jeremy demanded. I reached over and messed up his hair. It's chestnut brown, like mine. If I told you that, I said, making a funny voice, it wouldn't be a surprise, would it? You sound just like Mom, Jeremy cried. What an insult.
I don't think it's an insult to sound like my mother. I love my mother. So, whatever, you know?
I dropped him off at school and then crossed the street to my school. Ah, he dropped off at his school, then I crossed the street to my school. As I made my way down the hall, I thought about my part in the play. Esmeralda had so many lines. I wonder if I could memorize all of them. And I wondered if my old stage fright would come back. Last year, I had terrible stage fright in Guys and Dolls, and I didn't even have to say anything. I walked into the classroom, said good morning to some kids, made my way to the table, and stopped. Hey, a boy I had never seen before was at my place. He was kind of cute. He had dark brown hair and bright green eyes. He was wearing a big red and black flannel shirt over sweatpants. Ooh, sexy sweatpants. He had made himself right at home. His books and notebooks were spread out, and he was tilting back in my chair with his black high tops resting on the table. You're in my place? I said, standing over him. He gazed up at me with those green eyes. No, I'm not, he replied casually. This is my place.
Fuck. I had a beer again? Alright, maybe I can make it to the end of the chapter before I get it.
Keep it going, Dune. Oh, chapter 9, you're so fine, you're so fine. That chapter 9, hey, chapter 9, hey, chapter 9. Excuse me? I said, staring down at him. He blushed. I think this is where Miss Walker told me to sit. He glanced around nervously. I saw an empty spot at the table behind mine. She probably meant right the fuck over there, I said, pointing. I've been at this seat all year, next to Zeke. I motioned to Zeke's chair. Zeke wasn't there. He was late, as usual. The boy blushed even darker. Sorry, he muttered shyly. I hate being the new kid. He started to gather his books together. This is your first day? I asked, introducing myself. I'm Brian Coulson, he replied, climbing to his feet. My family just moved to Woods Mill from Indiana. That sounds eerie. I like the show Eerie, Indiana. I said I'd never been to Indiana. It was a boring thing to say, but it was true. You're Brooke Rogers? He asked, studying me. I heard you got the starring role in the play. How did you hear that already? I demanded. Some kids were talking about it on the bus. You must be a pretty good actress, huh? He demanded, or he added shyly. I guess. I don't know. Sometimes I get pretty bad stage fright, I told him. I don't know why I told him that. Sometimes I just rattle on. I guess that's why my parents call me Babbling Brook. Brian smiled shyly inside. Back at my school in Indiana, I was in all the plays. He's probably a homosexual, he told me, but I never had the lead role. I wish I had moved here sooner. Then I could have tried out for the Phantom. I tried to picture Brian on stage in the play, but I couldn't. He didn't seem like the acting type to me. He seemed so shy, and he kept blushing all the time. But I decided to give the poor guy a break. Brian, why don't you come to rehearsal with me this afternoon? I suggested. Maybe we can get a small part or something. Brian smiled, as if I just offered him $1 million. You mean it? He asked, wide-eyed. Sure, I said. No big deal. Zeke came slinking into his seat, his eyes on Miss Walker's desk. Am I late? He whispered. I shook my head. Then I started to introduce him to Brian, but Miss Walker stepped into the room and closed the door. Time for class to begin. Brian hurried to his place at the other table. I started to sit down, but realized I'd left my science notebook in my locker. Oh, no! BRB, I called to Miss Walker. I hurried back out the door and jogged around the corner to my locker. Jesus. Hey! To my surprise, the locker door stood half open. That's weird, I thought. I remembered locking it. I pulled the door open the rest of the way, started to reach inside for my notebook, and let out a startled gasp. Someone was in there, and he was staring right at me. If I had a Twitter account that was dedicated solely to Dune Reads Goosebumps, rather than my standard Twitter account of just @Dune... Yeah, at Dune, do you any? Anyway, I would tweet right now, the real Phantom of the Auditorium is illiteracy. But it's not fucking worth it. So, anyway, that's what I would do. I went down and I got another beer. It was exciting. Chapter 10. His ugly blue and green face grinned out at me. I gasped again and clamped my hand over my mouth. Then I cracked up laughing. Zeke and his dumb rubber creature masks. Well, you got me this time, Zeke, I murmured out loud. Then I saw the folded up sheet of paper dangling behind the mask. Some kind of note? I pulled it out and unfolded it. Scribbled in red crayon was a message. Stay away from my home, sweet home.
Creepy.
Ha ha, I murmured. Very good, Zeke. Very amusing. I pulled out my science notebook, slammed the locker shut and locked it. Then I hurried back to the classroom. Miss Walker stood behind her desk. She had just finished introducing Brian to everyone. Now she was reading the morning announcements. I slid into my seat beside Zeke. You didn't scare me one bit, I lied. He looked up from his math notebook. Zeke always did his math homework first thing in class. Huh? He flashed me his innocent look. Your mask? I whispered. It didn't scare me? Mask? What mask? He replied, tapping the pencil eraser against my arm. I shoved him away. Stop acting stupid, stupid, I said sharply. Your note wasn't funny either. You can do better than that. I didn't write you any note, Brooke, Zeke replied impatiently. I don't know what you're talking about, really. For sure, I said, rolling my eyes. I feel like R.L. Stine was, like, passing by an elementary school, and there was one little girl that was like, he's like, I'm gonna put you in a book one day, girl. You really inspired me. And she called his shit and was like, for sure, and rolled her eyes. And he immediately took out his little, like, Hello Kitty notepad, he writes everything, and was like, write for sure and make girl roll her eyes. This will relate to the youth. You don't know anything about the mask in my locker or the note, right? Shut up and let me finish my math, he said, staring down at his textbook. You're not making any sense. Oh, well, I guess the real Phantom did it then, I said. He ignored me. He was scribbling equations in his notebook. What a phony baloney, I thought. Zeke did it, and he knows it. For sure.
Wow, that's the second time. Okay.
After school, I led Brian to the auditorium. I practically had to drag him up on the stage. He was so shy. Miss Walker, are there any parts still available? I asked. Brian is really interested in being in the play. Miss Walker glanced up from the script in her hands. I saw that she had scribbled notes all over the script. She studied Brian. I'm really sorry, Brian, she said, shaking her head. You came to school a few days too late. What a shitty place that Brooke put the teacher in. And did that, like, oh, I'm sure she has a part for you. That's really fucking douchey. Brian blushed. I've never seen anyone blush so often. Except for Native Americans, they're always blushing. Nailed it. There aren't any speaking parts left, Miss Walker told him. They've all been given out. Do you need a stand-in for anyone? Brian asked. I'm a very fast memorizer. I could memorize more than one part. Wow, I thought. He really is eager to be in the play. Well, we really don't need any more stand-ins, Miss Walker told him. But I have an idea. You can join the scenery crew if you wish. Great, Brian exclaimed with real enthusiasm. Go see Tina over there, Miss Walker told him. She's the girl with developing breasts. Pointing to the group of kids meeting in the back wall of the stage, Tina was busily pointing out where she wanted the scenery to go, motioning dramatically with both hands, making her newly formed breast shake, making everyone follow her around the stage. Brian seemed really happy. I watched him trot over to find Tina. I took a seat in the auditorium and concentrated on my script. I was in practically every scene. How could I possibly memorize my whole part? I sighed and slouched back in the seat, slinging my feet over the seat in front of me. I was memorizing my third line in the play, which went, "What proof do you have that this man might be dangerous?" When all the lights went suddenly out. A total blackout. I couldn't see a thing. Kids started to shout, "Hey, who turned out the lights?"
Good stuff.
I can't see. What's happening? Turn them back on. I sat straight up when I heard the shrill scream. A terrifying scream. Like an animal howl that ripped through the darkness and exploded over the auditorium. No, no! I heard Corey Schuyler moan, and then I heard someone else cry out, "It's coming from the catwalk!" Another shrill wail rose up over the frightened cries of my friends. "Turn on the lights!" I heard Corey plead, "Please turn on the lights!" Other frightened voices called out, "Who's screaming? Somebody do something? There's someone up in the catwalk." The auditorium lights flickered back on. Another long howl from above the stage forced me to raise my eyes. And I saw him, a green and blue masked creature wearing a shiny black cape, gripping a long, heavy robe. Rope.
He wasn't wearing a robe. He's not like the dude of monsters. He has a rope. He's holding a rope. Like the kind Fred wraps around his neck. Never mind.
He came swinging down from high on the catwalk. As he swung down to the stage, he threw his head back and laughed a horrifying, evil laugh. I jumped to my feet and stared in amazement. The Phantom!
And that's Dune Reads Goosebumps in a nutshell. I just let out a scream to sound spooky, then I burp up Miller Lite. Why am I drinking this? Oh yeah, it's fucking hot as shit. Stupid San Diego.
Alright. Chapter 11. The Phantom landed hard on his feet. His shoes hit the stage floor with a thud. He let go of the rope and flew it away from him. The green and blue face glanced quickly around the stage. Tina and her scenery crew stood frozen against the wall, staring at him in horrified silence. Miss Walker appeared stunned. She had her arms tightly over her chest. The Phantom's cape swirled around him as he stomped over... As he stomped one shoe on the stage. He's short, I realized, standing and staring from down the second row of seats. He's about Zeke's height. Maybe an inch or two taller. Or maybe he's exactly Zeke's height, because he is Zeke. Zeke? Hey, Zeke! I called. The ugly masked face peered out of the auditorium. The phantom started to sink. His feet disappeared, the legs of his dark pants down, down. He had stepped on the peg and was riding the trap door down. Zeke, I yelled. I ran up the aisle and pulled myself up onto the stage. Zeke, you're not funny, I shouted. But the phantom had vanished below the stage. I ran up to the opening in the stage and stared down at the darkness. Miss Walker stepped up beside me, an angry scowl on her face. Was that Zeke? She asked. Was that really Zeke? I'm not sure, I stammered. I think so. Zeke, Miss Walker called down into the opening. Zeke, are you down there? No reply. The platform had lowered all the way down. I couldn't see anything but a deep well of blackness. Kids gathered around the opening, chattering excitedly, laughing and teasing each other. Was that Zeke? I heard Corey ask. Was Zeke wearing that dumb mask again? Is Zeke going to ruin our rehearsal today? Miss Walker demanded angrily. Does he think we need to be scared every afternoon? I shrugged. I couldn't answer. Maybe it wasn't Zeke, I heard Corey say. He sounded very frightened. It had to be Zeke. Zeke, are you here? Miss Walker shouted, cupping her hands around her mouth. She turned slowly, her eyes darting over the stage, and then all the seats in the auditorium. Zeke Matthews. Did I already say his name was Matthews?
I'm sure I did. That's probably where I got mentally on the whole Boy Meets World thing.
Can you hear me? No answer. No sign of Zeke. He's your friend, Brooke, Tina said nastily. Don't you know where he is? Can't you tell him to stop ruining our play? I sputtered an answer. I was so angry I didn't know what I was saying. I mean, Zeke is my friend, but I'm not responsible for him. Tina was just trying to make me look bad and score some points with Miss Walker. Okay, scenery people, Miss Walker instructed. Back to work. I'll take care of this. The rest of you... She stopped. We all heard it. The loud clanking sound. The loud hum rose up over the clanking. The trap door. It's coming back up, I cried, pointing. Good, Miss Walker said, crossing her arms over her chest again. She narrowed her eyes at the opening on the stage floor. Now I will let Zeke know how we feel about his stupid little joke. His last little joke, if I have anything to say about it. Uh-oh, I thought. Poor Zeke. Miss Walker was a really good teacher and a really nice person, too, until you got on her bad side. But once you did that, once you made her angry, once you had her crossing her arms and squinting her eyes at you, then you knew you were in major trouble. Maybe even deep trouble. That's a Goosebumps book that I already started. There's like 3/4 done with the first part. I could have got it up months ago, but life. Because she could be really mean. I knew Zeke was just having some fun. He loved being the center of attention, and he loved to scare people. He especially loved to scare me. This was a game for him. I knew. I was trying to show everyone that they were scaredy wimps. He was trying to show everyone that they were scaredy cat wimps, and he wasn't. Zeke played this game all the time, but this time it had backfired. This time he had gone too fucking far, and Miss Walker was waiting for him, arms crossed, eyes squinting. Will she toss him out of the play, I wondered, or will she just yell at him until his ears curl? My mom's calling me. I gotta finish this chapter. I'm sorry, Mother. The hum grew louder. The stage floor vibrated. We all heard the platform stop, its usual 5 feet below the stage. Poor Zeke, I thought. He's standing there innocently. He doesn't know what he's in for. Poor Zeke. I peered down into the opening and gasped.
Fine, I'll answer the phone. I gotta call her back now. Okay. Sorry. This is actually going to be the last chapter I read before I go eat some motherfucking chicken wings and drink some motherfucking more beer that hopefully tastes better than this. Yeah. Yeah, Ballast Point, Sculpin IPA, what? All right, I had to talk to my mom, it was lovely. I'm gonna go to dinner with her tomorrow. I'm gonna go to dinner with my mom, and, my buddy texted me saying that I gotta go to Chicken Wings, and he's gonna leave his house in 10 minutes to pick me up, because I can't drive, because I have a problem with alcohol. Anyway, this is the last chapter, how many pages is it? I'm gonna power through and get it done. I'll still make comments. Don't worry. Or I guess it could be a good thing. Wow, if you're an asshole who doesn't want the comments, why the fuck are you listening to this?
You can fuck off right here and not get chapter 12. Chapter 12! The platform was empty. No one was there. Zeke, or whoever it was, had sent it back up empty and had disappeared into the dark tunnels far below the school. Zeke wouldn't do that, I told myself. Even Zeke wouldn't be crazy enough to go down in that darkness by himself, without a flashlight, without a fleshlight. What a clue. Without a clue as to what was down there? Would he? Yes, he would. I answered my own question. If he thought he could really terrify us, Zeke would do anything. Miss Walker canceled the rehearsal. She told the scenery crew to stay and paint the backdrop. She told the rest of us to go home and study our parts.
Yeah, I used to leave school and go home and study my part a lot up top.
Beaten off. All right. I'm going to have a long talk with Zeke when I find him, she muttered. Then she turned and made her way quickly out of the auditorium. I took my time walking home. I thought about Zeke all the way. I was thinking so hard, I walked right past my house. Down the block, I saw Zeke's mother's red Pontiac pulling up their driveway. Shielding my eyes against the late afternoon sun, I saw Miss Matthews climbing out of the car. And then I saw Zeke on the other side. Hey, Zeke! I shouted as I went running across the lawns toward him. Zeke! His mother waved to me and disappeared into the house. Zeke looked surprised to see me. Is play rehearsal over so early? He asked. Yes, thanks to you, I muttered. Huh? He gave me his innocent look again. What did I do? Sorry, huh? What did I do? You didn't scare me, Zeke, I told him. No one thought it was funny, and you're now in a load of trouble with Miss Walker. He narrowed his eyes and scrunched up his face and pretended not to understand. What are you talking about, Brooke? How can I be in trouble? I wasn't even there. You were there long enough, I told him. He shook his head. His freckles seemed to grow darker. His blonde hair fluttered in the wind. No, I wasn't, he said quietly. I told Miss Walker I wouldn't be there. I told her this morning that I had to miss the rehearsal. So you could get into your mask and cape and come flying down from the catwalk? I demanded suspiciously. No, I told her I had a dentist appointment. I gaped at him in shock. My mouth dropped open. What's your problem, Brooke? He demanded. It was only a checkup. You really weren't at school, I stammered. He shook his head. No way. Then who was the phantom? I asked in a tiny voice. A strange smile spread over Zeke's face. It was you, I cried angrily. You did your phantom act, and then you went to the dentist appointment. Didn't you? Didn't you, Zeke? He only laughed. He couldn't answer. At school the next afternoon, I walked with Brian to the auditorium. He looked cute in a black vest over a white t-shirt and faded jeans. Ooh, the Jonas Brothers look. How are you doing, Tina? Sorry. How are you doing with Tina? I asked. Okay, I guess, Brian replied. She's a little bossy, but she's letting me design the backdrop pretty much on my own. Oh, God, how gay can this kid be? I waved to some kids who were heading out the door for home. We turned the corner. I saw Corey and Tina walking into the auditorium. Did Zeke work things out with Miss Walker? Brian asked. I saw him talking to her this morning. I guess, I replied. She's letting Zeke stay in the play. For now. Do you think it was Zeke who pulled that stunt yesterday? Brian asked. I nodded. Yes, I do. Zeke likes scaring people. He's been doing it since we were little. I think Zeke is trying to scare us. He's trying to make us think he's a real phantom in the school. I smiled at Brian. But I don't scare so easily. I scared. No, she doesn't scare. She declares. Oh, Brain. You work in strange ways. God damn it. Now that I said Brain, every time I read Brian, it's going to be Brain. Fuck, stupid Brain. Soon after rehearsal started, Miss Walker called Zeke and me on stage. She said she wanted to walk us through one of our scenes together. She wanted to show us where we could stand when we set our lines. She called it blocking. She also asked Tina Powell and Robert Hernandez, Zeke's understudy, to come up on stage. Miss Walker said they should know all the blocking too, just in case, I thought. Then I remembered Tina's warning. In case you get sick or something on the night of the play, I get to play your stupid part. Well, Tina, I hate to disappoint you, I muttered to myself, but I plan to be perfectly fine, so have fun painting your scenery. It's the only thing you'll be doing on stage, idiot. I think her allergies might come into play, just referencing that. I know, that's kind of mean, but Tina deserved it. Miss Walker showed Zeke where to stand. I stood off to the side of the stage with Tina, waiting for my cue to go on. I guess Miss Walker and Zeke worked things out, Tina said. I heard him this morning telling her he was at the dentist, so he couldn't be the one swinging down from the ceiling. I started to tell Tina to be quiet so I could hear my cue, but I was too late. I already heard Miss Walker calling my name. Brooke Rogers? She sounded angry. What's going on over there? You're supposed to be on stage. Thanks a bunch, Tina, I muttered under my breath. I ran onto stage, glancing back. I could see Tina laughing to herself, her huge breasts heaving with every chuckle. I couldn't believe it. Tina had made me miss my cue on purpose. On stage, I didn't know where I was supposed to stand. I didn't even know what page of the script we were on. What was my next line? I couldn't remember. In a panic, I stared out at the kids in the auditorium seats. They all stared back at me, waiting for me to speak. I opened my mouth, but nothing came out. The line is somebody down here? Tina yelled loudly off from the stage. Oh, wow, I thought unhappily. Tina was doing anything to show me up. She's just hoping Miss Walker will kick me out of the play. I felt so angry my head was spinning. I couldn't think straight. I repeated the line. Then I took a deep breath to calm down, like Dune needs to do. Zeke had the next line. He was supposed to appear on stage and scare Esmeralda. But Zeke wasn't on stage. He wasn't anywhere in sight. I peered out into the auditorium. Miss Walker stood at the foot of the stage. She had her hands on her waist. She tapped one toe impatiently on the floor. The auditorium grew silent, except for that tap. 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 Tap, 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 tap. Miss Walker seemed to be very annoyed. Where is Zeke? She said. She asked wearily. What is he doing now? Is he going to come flying down from the catwalk in full costume or something? I should have guessed what Zeke was up to, but it didn't dawn on me until I heard a familiar noise. The loud clanking, followed by the hum. The trapdoor platform. It was rising, I sighed. Here comes Zeke, I told Miss Walker, and a second later, Zeke's blue and green masked head appeared. I stepped back and watched him rise from down below. It looked awesome, really dramatic. Slowly, he appeared, rising up over the stage floor. He reached the top and just stood there for a long moment, staring out at the auditorium, as if posing for a picture. He was in full costume, his mask, a black cape down to his ankles, black shirt and pants. What a ham, I thought. He really loves having everyone stare at him and think he's hot stuff. And then he stepped toward me, taking quick strides through the mask. He raised his eyes to me. I tried to remember what I was supposed to say next, but before I could utter a sound, he grabbed both of my shoulders. He shook them really hard, too hard. Ease up, Zeke, I thought. It's only a rehearsal. Go away, he cried in a furious whisper. I remember what I was supposed to say. I opened my mouth to speak, but then I froze. I saw someone waving to me from the edge of the stage, waving frantically. It was Zeke. R.L. Stein, you can really weave a tale here. That concludes part one of Phantom of the Auditorium on Dune Roads Goosebumps. I'm Dune. Well, I'll try to keep this up again. That's about it, I guess. Sorry. I guess I'm sorry. I got lots of emails from people, so people like Julio, please, I will get back to you. Life, it's hard. It's hard and stressful. Anyway, I guess that's it. That's all. I'm Dune. His Dune reads Goosebumps. About to go eat some motherfucking chicken wings, so until then, you need to stay spooky, bitches!